Hi, and welcome to Healthy Vibes for Women with me, Danny. Have you ever wondered what your body type is like from a scientific point of view? Well, the answer is in this episode. So join me as I chat with Mac Nelson to talk about body types science.
I am the lead scientific researcher at Fellow One Research, and our research focuses on body type science. And the long and the short of body type science is that we look at muscle mass in terms of, or I should say, muscle and muscle mass in terms of skinny fat being cellulite, thin fat, loose skin, saggy skin, crepey skin, and normal weight. Obesity, as well as just fat in general, and the genetics behind why there are some bodies that have fully developed muscle and muscle mass and why there are others that do not. And so that's a general overview of our research. I'm happy to talk about that further if you'd like.
Oh, yes, please. Yeah, definitely. So thank you so much for that introduction. When you, I think for me, I just wanted you to talk more about the before you talked about body fat and, you know, the types of body fat as well.
Yes. So let's first look at the standards in terms of mainstream science and medical doctors and how they see body type. There are three standards that mainstream science and medical doctors look at in terms of any person's body type. The first standard is the Standard Scientific Human Body Anatomy Book Body Type 1. And that is the image that you find in any scientifically approved human body anatomy book. It's the image with all the muscle and muscle mass fully developed, really the entire human body that is fully developed. And according to mainstream science and medical doctors, when you go in for your standard physical, that's what they are judging you by, is that standard image. The problem with that image, why it is inaccurate, is because any part of the human body can be underdeveloped to whatever degree, and that includes muscle and muscle mass. So that's the first standard, why it is inaccurate. The second standard is the body mass index scale, the BMI scale, which has been around since the 1800s, but it wasn't officially recognized by science until, or science and medical doctors officially until 1985. And as much as we need a standard, that standard is inaccurate because it is a fact that any part of the human body can be underdeveloped. And that standard does not take into account skinny fat. Another reason why it is not accurate, is because it is possible to have excess muscle and muscle mass on your body. I guess it is possible to have excess muscle mass on your body. And we can think of somebody like Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, who is all muscle. And if you were to run his BMI score, he likely would fall into the overweight or obese categories of his safe BMI weight scale. But he most certainly is not overweight or obese. So that is standard number two and why it is inaccurate. Standard number three is the basal metabolic rate, BMR, which is the number of calories daily that your specific body requires just to do its basic functioning to survive. The reason that that standard is not accurate is because skinny fat is a very real thing. Science recognizes that muscle mass, 1 pound of muscle mass burns 6 calories daily. 1 pound of skinny fat or fat only burns 2 to 3 calories daily. So if you are following your standard calculated BMR, whether it's the Mifflin St. Georg or the Harris Benedict activity BMR, you are likely still eating too many calories daily if you have skinny fat on your body where there should be muscle and muscle mass, especially if you're within your safe BMI weight range and you're dealing with normal weight obesity or any other form of skinny fat. So those are the three mainstream science and medical doctor standards. So I'll sort of pause there and see if all that's making sense. And then I'm happy to talk further about how skinny fat is a role, plays a role in all this and why.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it all makes sense. And yeah, we've definitely gotten onto the bit where I wanted to sort of like want to talk more about that. So yeah, if you could talk more about that, please.
You got it. Okay. So when we're thinking about skinny fat, it's actually a relatively new term in terms of science and medical doctors. When I was a young kid in the mid-1980s, that term did not exist. So when I would go in and see my doctor, starting around age 10 or so is my first memory. Really, it was around age 8, but age 10 was when I really began questioning, why do I have all this fat all over my body when I'm skinny? I'm well within my safe BMI weight range. And every time I go in to see the doctor, when they do all the tests, they tell me that I'm normal because I'm within my safe BMI. Yet I have all this skinny fat all over my body where there should be muscle and muscle mass. And at the time, they did not recognize the term skinny fat. All they cared about was the BMI. So honestly, nobody cared. They didn't care that I was missing muscle and muscle mass all over my body. But it matters for the reasons that I already stated in terms of affecting BMI and BMR. But muscle is the armor of the human body. It's what generates speed and strength and athleticism in general. So if you're interested in sports, like I was when I was 8, I was a star soccer player on a championship team, a state championship team. But by the time I hit puberty, the fat just grew and I had very little muscle and muscle mass, and I just couldn't keep up with the competition in the sport of soccer. And I tried switching to tennis, but I couldn't hold the racket with one hand. I had to hold it with two hands, which really affects your ability to excel at the sport. So essentially, I had to stop sports because I just didn't have the muscle and muscle mass to compete with the other kids on the field. And so muscle mass is vital to your ability to function daily in life. It affects your metabolism. It's just an important factor all the way around in terms of your life. It will affect your diet, your exercise, and your lifestyle. And so when you have skinny fat in place of muscle and muscle mass, it also directly affects your diet, exercise, and lifestyle. And because mainstream science and medical doctors still do not recognize skinny fat, especially normal weight obesity, which again is when you're within your safe BMI weight range, yet you're still dealing with skinny fat all over your body where there should be muscle and muscle mass, it directly affects your life. And so I'll sort of pause there. Is that making sense?
Yeah, it is making sense. I just of what you said when you sort of your last comment, I'm like, which is why I just went, okay, because that's kind of like a revelation to me. Like, why do you think about it that way? Yeah. So, and, sorry.
And that's really it. Is most people, we have our scientific body type quiz up on the website. We also have our scientific weight loss diary. And most of the people who have used our scientific weight loss diary, they've lost the weight. They've gotten down within their safe BMI weight range. We have one young lady who is, I think, in her early 20s. She was participant 1170, and she started out right at the edge of her safe BMI, and she got down to the mid-range within her safe BMI, yet she still has skinny fat all over her body. And her first response to that, once she got down to her mid-range safe BMI, was, well, I must have lost muscle and muscle mass as I was losing weight. But that's just not how weight loss works. If you are doing safe weight loss, meaning that you are not starving your body so that it is forced to break down muscle and muscle mass to survive, then it is not how weight loss works that the human body breaks down muscle and muscle mass. So when we explained to her that all of her scientific data, all the diary data that is up on her page, again, it's participant 1170. Anyone can go and look at all of her data. She safely lost the weight doing safe diet, exercise, and lifestyle practices. And yet she still has skinny fat all over her body. But there is no scientific evidence that says that when you lose weight safely, that your body breaks down muscle and muscle mass to survive. Your body will always, always use the excess fat on the body first and the calories that you are intaking daily to burn before it ever burns muscle or muscle mass, which then leads to the question. She safely lost weight, safely got down into her safe BMI weight range, yet she was dealing with skinny fat all over her body still. And it was what we had forecasted relative to her scientific body type quiz, that once she lost that weight, because of the underdeveloped muscle and muscle mass relative to the vertebrae that we had identified in her initial scientific body type quiz, that she would deal with skinny fat instead of muscle and muscle mass. So what does all that mean? It means, according to mainstream science and medical doctors, once any human being loses any excess fat weight and gets down within their safe BMI weight range, they look identical to the standard scientific human body anatomy book body type 1. And there's no question about that. Go and ask your doctor. If I lose the weight, doc, I will look like the standard scientific human body anatomy book body type 1, right? Yes, you will. Yet, we have the evidence up on our site that says that is simply not true, that not everyone is a body type 1, that not everyone has all of the muscle mass, the muscle and muscle mass fully developed. And the reason is because of genetics. Genetically, many people like myself are lacking muscle and muscle mass, and in place of that muscle and muscle mass is skinny fat. So is that making sense?
Yeah, definitely. It's making a whole lot of sense. I'm getting educated here.
That then leads us to how we came to break down body type the way that we did. So we believe in science, and science, it's the role of science is to understand things relative to the evidence and facts at hand. And that usually entails breaking things down into some sort of categorization. If we look at it in terms of, say, blood pressure, we know that a healthy blood pressure is somewhere around 120 over 80, and we can take it down to, somewhere around 90 over 60 or thereabouts. And that is a rough, safe range for blood pressure. And we know that because we have defined it and we have categorized it. And so we are doing the same thing with body types, in that we know that a body type 1 is a real thing, that there are people in the world like David Beckham who have a body type 1. He has all of the muscle and muscle mass fully developed. You can see it. You can go up on Google and type David Beckham beach or shirt off, and you can see that that dude has a body type 1. So it is a very real body type. But then you can go and look at the celebrity body types up on our website and see that there are people like Jonah Hill or Lizzo or Megan Thee Stallion or other people who do not have a body type 1. And we're not saying that if you don't have a body type 1, that's in some way bad. That's not our goal here. We aren't judging folks so that you can say, I have a body type 1, I'm better than you. That's not it at all. We're just trying to understand why there are some body types who are like a David Beckham, who actually are a body type 1, and why there are other body types that are not, which is how we came to the four body types. So science recognizes that every vertebra houses a specific set of muscles. And because we know that it is a scientific fact that any part of the human body can be underdeveloped, including muscle and muscle mass, we know that that will directly affect a vertebra or vertebrae if you have multiple vertebrae that have underdeveloped muscle mass. And that will directly affect posture and metabolism, etc. And so we broke down our body types into a body type 1, which is all vertebrae and muscle mass are fully developed. A body type 2 is 1 to 8 vertebrae and muscle mass underdeveloped. Body type 3 is 9 to 17 vertebrae and muscles or muscle mass underdeveloped. And the body type 4 would be 18 through 26. And this is obviously in relation to the cervical vertebrae, which there are 7 cervical, there are 12 thoracic, there are 5 lumbar, there's 1 sacrum, and there's 1 coccyx, which equals 26 total vertebrae. So that's how we defined body types in terms of the 4 body types. And we don't claim that that is written in stone. We may find later that there's a better way of breaking that down, but we had to start somewhere. So is that making sense?
Yeah, definitely making a whole lot of sense. I'm just taking notes, actually.
Good. Yeah. And so then we have the unscientific body types that most folks are well aware of, which are called the somatotype or 3 body types. And there is no science behind those body types. They are arbitrary, subjective shapes that were invented in the 1940s, and they were thoroughly debunked shortly after. And they are the endomorph, ectomorph, and mesomorph. And again, they are 100% unscientific. There's no scientific basis to those body types. And the same is true with the Kibbe body types or the triangle body types or the hormone body types or the 10 body types. There's no science whatsoever behind any of those body types. We are the only body type science in existence. You can go to our website at fellow1.com and see all of our scientific data. We have real people who have taken the scientific body type quiz. All of their data is up on the site. We have the celebrity body types to give a stronger sense of things. But we are the only body type science in existence. And the final thing that I'll say on that is we recognize that hormones most certainly affect body type in terms of weight loss, at least. However, we have plenty of scientific body type quizzes up on the site where there are folks who are body type 2, 3, or 4, and we have asked them specifically, have you ever been diagnosed with a hormone imbalance? Are you dealing with a hormone imbalance? Have you ever been diagnosed with a structural issue like scoliosis or such? And their answer is no to all 3 of those questions, yet they have obvious skinny fat and a lack of developed muscle and muscle mass as well as vertebrae on their body. So if the hormone body types were true, that would mean that those people would have been diagnosed by their doctor with a hormone imbalance, and that would directly affect the shape of their human body. But that's just not how it works. We know that hormones affect weight and weight loss, but why they would affect the shape and the structure of the human body, just it doesn't add up in terms of the hormone body types. So is all that making sense?
Oh, yes, it is, certainly is. Like I said before, you know, I'm getting an interview, so I'm literally just nodding. Yeah. Yeah, and I guess as well, like listening to the things that you said about the body type, because I don't know, I only kind of know the ones apple shape body types. That's kind of my only understanding of body types. So I guess women are in the same space as me, thinking the same words I'm thinking, but.
Right.
I just wanted to,
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go on. Yes, all right.
I was just going to say that is really a main issue right now, is that really is the only reference that most people have, is I'm an apple or I'm a pear, but there's just no basis to that whatsoever. And the problem with that is we've got social media, which the information up on social media is just so inaccurate and so false. We have folks who are posting body images that have been filtered, that have been photoshopped, and they are referencing unscientific body types like the three body types and talking about apple or pear or triangle, but none of it's based on any science whatsoever. So it's not knowledge based, it's not fact or evidence based, it's just arbitrary nonsense. And when you have arbitrary subjective nonsense that's being passed around as if somehow it's scientific, you have folks that then are trying to hold themselves and their bodies to completely unrealistic standards. Then they go out and they do diet and exercise and lifestyle in terms of, you know, what they eat, how they exercise and such, that is trying to get their body to a body type that their genetics simply will never achieve to. It's just not possible for their body type. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. But I mean, there isn't anything wrong with your body type as it is. Again, we aren't saying that a body type 1 is better than a body type 2 is better than a body type 3. That's not what we're saying at all. We're simply trying to give the definitions and the understanding and the knowledge so that you can understand what your body type is, and you can then find a proper science-based diet and exercise that's best for your body type so that you can live a realistic expectation of what your body type looks like, instead of trying to achieve to, you know, if you're a body type 2, 3, or 4 and you're trying to achieve to a Kate Moss body type 1 body type, and you have to starve your body to do so, that's not healthy. If you have to do a bunch of exercises that just aren't healthy to try and meet that unhealthy body type image expectation, excuse me, it's just not healthy. And so what that leads to, especially up on social media, is we have a health crisis, especially with young people who are trying to meet all these unhealthy body type image standards. And it leads to things like depression and even suicide. And that is a growing problem that needs to stop. And the only way that you stop that is you educate people about, why is my body type different than somebody else's? It's genetics. And accepting your body type relative to your genetics, and then finding the right proper diet and exercise for your specific body type, which is why we don't push a specific diet or exercise up on our website. We have a full list of diets, a full list of different exercises up on our scientific weight loss program page, especially our advanced scientific weight loss program page. So you can choose which diet and which exercise is best for you. So is that making sense?
Yeah, it's making a whole lot of sense. Choosing the kind of diets that best for you. But obviously, you've mentioned all the stuff about body type. So how can you make more decisions based on body type that you mentioned to, sort of going to the healthy lifestyle?
Right. So that is a tricky question, because again, it's really about your specific body type and your specific genetics. So there is no black or white answer for that question. We do recommend the Blue Zone Mediterranean diet as sort of a coverall, because there's a lot of science that backs it up. There are 5 blue zones worldwide that people live into their hundreds and they live normal, healthy lives. They aren't popping a bunch of allopathic pills and struggling to get through their 70s and 80s with a plethora of health problems where they're in pain, yada, yada. They're actually living normal, healthy lives into their hundreds. So those are the blue zones. And then, of course, there's a lot of scientific evidence that backs up the Mediterranean diet. And we've chosen to combine those two things because there's so much science that backs up the blue zones and the Mediterranean diet that it's just a super healthy diet. It's a mostly vegetarian diet, but it still allows for meat and seafood and red wine. So it's not too restrictive. You can do it as a low carb or a low fat. There's flexibility with it. So that being said, really and truly figuring out what your best diet is understanding the macro and micronutrients in terms of food in general. So understanding proteins, carbohydrates, and fats, and then vitamins and minerals and antioxidants. And once you understand those, then it's figuring out what foods really work best for your body. Are you one of these people who you truly have issues with gluten? If so, then you've got to figure out how to remove gluten foods from your diet, which means you likely then will be on a low carb diet. If you have issues with peanuts or certain allergies for other foods, then you'll have to figure that out and remove those from your diet. But it's really a process of figuring out what foods work best for me in terms of whole foods. And we always recommend organic foods if you can afford them, but no less than whole foods. And a diet that is rich in fruits and vegetables and lean meats and really more vegetarian protein over animal protein. But those are the general standards that we look at. Again, it's really about figuring out what works best for your body. And that is a process. And if we can educate folks at a young age so that they start doing that when they're, you know, in their teens or so, by the time they get into their 20s and they start living life on their own, they have a much better sense of what diet and what exercise works best for me, so that moving forward, they are eating as healthy as possible, keeping fast, junk, and processed foods to the absolute bare minimum while eating a very healthy diet, so that we can overcome the global health crisis, including the obesity epidemic that we are currently dealing with, so that we can live a healthier, more sustainable life for everyone. So is that making sense?
A whole lot of sense. And I'm guessing that, you know, once, you know, anyone else does, like, that will be listening to it and nodding, like I'm nodding and saying, wow, this is kind of a whole lot. And obviously, trying to see things differently. And I like the fact that you mentioned the quiz on your website. So definitely, I will be going to there to go check, what this hype is, and sort of thinking, you know, how I'm going to see something. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, I'm already sort of like even helping that out anyway. But obviously, there's still kind of like room for improvement or just things I need to do more of. A chat today is just a whole new world opening up to me. And like I said before, the only thing I know about body types, airship and all of that, I did not know anything about all of the stuff that you mentioned earlier. So yeah, this is definitely something that I will be taking on board and looking at how, you know, I'm going to change things as well. And I guess lots of people will be taking a lot on board. And yeah, so there's just one thing I'm just curious about, actually. It's to do with, so when you talk about muscles and so on, from my perspective, actually, I just want to know, because I do strength training and I don't know what my body type is based on what you said now. I'm not on the obese side, I'm not on the super skinny side kind of thing. So what would you say to people who obviously like myself don't know all the things about body type? What you said about strength training, how do you know about maybe being
That is a tough one, because strength training is very important, especially the more skinny fat that you have on your body. But let me preface that with saying, technically, according to mainstream science and medical doctors, once you're within your safe BMI weight range, you should have no reason to have to do any strength training, because your body is already a body type 1. Yet, of course, we know, especially with people like me, and it sounds like you as well, that even when you are within your safe BMI weight range, you're lacking muscle and muscle mass, and in place of it is skinny fat, which leaves you with no other choice but to do strength training to help build muscle and muscle mass, especially relative to where you are lacking it on your body. So is that a fair statement?
Yeah, that's basically okay. Because I'm just like, you know, I the whole point of this was like intensifying my strength training was because I'm like, oh my God, I need, you know, sort of like to bulk a little bit. I'm not going to go to the Madonna kind of crazy bit where she's kind of like, I'm not trying to train for the strongest woman on earth, but just kind of like had a bit more muscle. That was it for me. So yeah. Yeah,
right. Okay. So then how does one go about adding muscle and muscle mass properly if they are dealing especially with skinny fat on their body? And that is a tricky conversation because it's actually why we came up with the scientific body type quiz. So the first step would be go and take our quiz and get to know where on your body are you dealing with a lack of muscle and muscle mass, and in place of it is skinny fat. Once you understand that, then it's really about figuring out how do I build muscle and muscle mass relative to that lack of muscle mass where I have skinny fat. So if you have access to a gym, you have access to a professional trainer at the gym, then what we would recommend is once you take your quiz, you can take your phone with you. You can take it down to the quiz to the gym, and you can show that pro and you can ask them, okay, what weightlifting exercises or what exercises in general, maybe it's yoga, maybe it's straight up weightlifting, maybe it's Pilates. There are different types of resistance exercises that can be done, but whatever it is, ask them. So let's just say hypothetically that you've got a lack of muscle and muscle mass relative to your lower lumbar and sacrum, which means that you likely put on fat weight on your lower back and your abdomen and your buttocks and your upper legs and thighs and such. If that is the case, then you would want to ask your trainer, what are the best exercises to help me build muscle and muscle mass relative to all of the muscles in terms of my lower lumbar and my sacrum vertebrae? Because again, we know that every vertebra houses a specific set of muscles. And if those muscles are underdeveloped and they have skinny fat, then that's where you want to focus in terms of weight lifting or adding muscle and muscle mass to your body. So one of the exercises that we highly recommend just in general is yoga, because it really helps you get to know your vertebrae. And if you can really master yoga exercises, especially specific yoga exercises that will focus on any of the vertebrae where you are lacking muscle and muscle mass, that is one excellent way of helping to build muscle and muscle mass. If you can then translate that into weightlifting in general and help build those muscles further, even better. But I would start most certainly with a professional, somebody who knows what they're doing. Now, if that's not an option, it is definitely possible to do some research up online. You can come to our website and you can sign up for our scientific weight loss diary. And that will give you access to the Ask Gnosis. Think of Ask Gnosis like Siri or Alexa, where you can ask questions to our expert science-based diet, exercise, and lifestyle team, and they can offer recommendations for specific exercises. If you don't feel like signing up for the advanced weight loss diary, you can do single credits for the Ask Gnosis. But that's another way where you can get access to an expert team that can offer science-based recommendations for what types of exercises will help out in terms of helping build muscle and muscle mass where you are lacking it on your body. So any questions about any of that?
No, that's kind of, you've kind of answered pretty much what I want to what I need to ask. You clarified quite a bit as well. I guess it's just a case of everyone going on the side, everyone listening to just on the side of the take your quiz and then take, and like you said, you know, take a picture and go to, if they go to the gym. In my case, I don't do gym. I exercise at home. I work out at home. But yeah, so we all have different ways of working out. So what would you then say to people like myself who does not like to go to the gym? I don't have problems with gym stuff. So how do I then follow up from what you know, in terms of from the quiz?
Let me see if I understood what you asked. So you are asking, how do we monitor and rate and then follow up with your actual progress? Is that what you're asking?
No, so basically you said, so you know when you said the whole thing about someone going to the gym in terms of strength training and then deciding what you want the person wants to do and you know, what kind of voice to make and stuff like that. And obviously I don't go to the gym, so how then would I be able to then address that?
Got it.
So
you don't have access to the gym, so that's not an option for you. Is that what I'm understanding?
No, I just don't like the gym. I do have access to the gym. I'm not a fan of the gym. I've got my weights at home, so yeah.
Great. Okay. So then if you are doing things at home, then I would seriously consider taking up yoga. And you can definitely incorporate your weights into that. But think about the human body in terms of gravity. So it's really gravity that is pushing down on the human body every second of every day, which the human body is having to work against. And we know that gravity plays a vital role in maintaining the health of the human body, because when an astronaut goes into space, they have to work extra hard in terms of maintaining their muscle mass and their bone mass and such while in space. And even then, when they come back, they have likely lost muscle and muscle mass along with bone mass, and they have to do extra work to rebuild that. And NASA's even come up with certain products like bio repair, which will help bone mass or the teeth and such. So it's gravity that is really what the human body is working against. So when you are at home and you're doing your exercises at home, if you can find a way to use gravity to your favor with exercises like yoga, then that is a huge part of building muscle mass. Now, again, if you can figure out how to incorporate your weightlifting as well, that's great. But keep in mind that the downside of weightlifting, of any repetition exercise, is once you stop doing it, you gradually start to lose any of the muscle and muscle mass that you built relative to those repetition exercises. Yet if you can figure out how to do exercise where you're using gravity, then the gravity is always pushing down on your body, and therefore you will maintain that muscle and muscle mass for the long term. We are working on proprietary exercises that do use gravity along with weights and such. Right now, I don't really have more to say on that because they're still in the developmental stages, but we know that it's possible. And so it's why we recommend yoga, especially because the upside of yoga is it's really a combination of calisthenics and isometrics, which really helps you get to know your vertebrae well. So am I making any sense here?
Yes, you are definitely making a whole lot of sense. Yeah, it's definitely kind of I guess I've never considered before what's obviously something to think about, I should say. I don't have any more questions, actually, because you pretty much covered everything that I was going to ask, basically, in terms of body type, and even more than I expected. So yeah, it's been very, very educational. Thank you so much, you know, for agreeing to come onto my podcast. And I do hope that everyone is listening has gotten a lot out of it. And by the way, can you please, before we wrap up, just tell people where they can go and do the quiz, your website, and everything else that you sort of like to do as well?
Yes, indeed. So you can go to fellow1.com and take our scientific body type quiz, as well as use our scientific weight loss program. We have the basic and the advanced. And just to be clear, we are not in competition with MyFitnessPal or Calorie King or Apple Health app. Those are wonderful apps that work well. Our diary is based on the idea that you're holding yourself accountable. It's a place where you can, once you take the scientific body type quiz and then you sign up for the scientific weight loss diary, you can use a pen name. All of the images are face free, so you can maintain your privacy and security.
Thank you again for coming on my podcast, and to everyone out there, do take care of yourself and look out for one another.